With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
But
5-1-0, I think we haven't addressed this lately.
All right.
5-1-0. Seems like the only time Steinmetz gets excited is when he talks about Warriors losses or someone hurt on the Warriors or turmoil on the Warriors.
I hope that guy's kidding. We just spent 10 minutes reliving the 73-win year, and I'm blown away by these numbers. 53-5, 68-8.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm more amazed than anything.
It's crazy how much that gets lost in the history of these last 5 years. How? Because they ended up not winning the championship
right
that year, and then they win two championships, and then they won the championship the first. It's just when you think back, because we were at all these games and covered them, and pre- and post-game shows, and we're doing all this different stuff, traveling on the road. It's like sometimes you forget how amazing that year was until you go back and look at it a little bit. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, radio.com sports station. Halfway through Warriors this week on a Saturday, John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz. We're with you until 1, and then we're back at 4 with Warriors Live before the Warriors take on the Thunder. No Kevin Durant tonight, as he will miss a second consecutive game with that ankle sprain, originally called an ankle contusion, but Steve Kerr told reporters in OKC that it's likely Durant returns on Monday when the Warriors will take on San Antonio. That coming up right here on 95.7 The Game as well. Tim Bontemps at 11:30, Tim Roy at 12:30, as we take your phone calls as well, 888-957-9570, trying to make sense of this last Warriors week where they lose to Phoenix, then beat Houston, and now we'll take on the Thunder without Kevin Durant.
JD, the Spurs were unbeaten at home that year until the Warriors went in and beat them
April 10th.
April 10th.
Okay.
So they were 39-0. The Warriors went in there, beat them to go 39-1.
Wow, and I don't remember that. But the
then they beat Oklahoma City. I'm talking about the Spurs.
And the Warriors were undefeated until
late. Maybe?
But no, Boston.
Okay.
Then they lost.
That's right. That's right.
At home. Or no, they lost two of three. Played Portland in between and beat Portland. But yeah, you look at. Yeah, exactly. That would have made them one. So they had 1, 2, 3, 4. They had 5 games. So the Warriors were 36-0.
It's interesting now. Like, you think about it now, the Warriors win 73. They didn't win the title. The Spurs won 67 and got eliminated in the second round.
Yeah, Oklahoma City beat them
after being down 2-1.
Right.
Oklahoma City came back and won. They blew them out.
One
at San Antonio, and then one handily again.
I remember because I didn't, I'll tell you, book hotels, and I'll even book flights ahead of time for the playoffs.
Right.
Haven't started doing it just yet for this year, but I remember having. I remember having.
Dude, let me give you a hint. Just go buy a ticket to San Antonio right now.
You think?
Yeah.
Even though they're closer to fifth than eighth.
Yeah. It's destiny. It's destiny.
So what's it going to be? San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Houston?
San Antonio. Let me look at the standings.
Oklahoma City's fifth. Portland's fourth.
See.
Warriors first?
Yes.
Is there still only a game up on Denver?
No, the Warriors are first.
So Warriors are one. Spurs are eight. Right now, well, they're not eight right now, but you think they're going to wind up eight?
I think the Spurs are going to end up eight. Right now, Utah's seven. Look at 6, 7, and 8.
I know.
All of them 7 and 3.
6, 7, 3, 4, 5, and 6. 3, 4, 5 are all battling.
And by the way.
And 6, 7, 8 are all battling.
And I think we also the West is set.
Yeah.
The West is now set.
Sacramento is the first team out, and they are now six.
Six games out with 14 to play.
Right.
That's.
Yeah.
It ain't baseball. So the eight teams are locked in pretty much.
The Kings don't play six of the last 14 head-to-head against the Clippers.
You know what, JD? This is reminding me, and I can't even remember the year. This reminds me of the year that the Spurs, I want to say, lost in the last day of the season and slipped from 3-6 and out of play the Warriors. Something like that.
No, they had to play the Clippers, and then the Clippers beat them. Remember, this was 2015, the year the Warriors won the championship for the first time, and there was basically two teams that could legitimately challenge the Warriors, the Spurs and the Clippers. And the way it fell on the last day of the season, the two teams that were the greatest threat to the Warriors wound up playing each other in the first round.
Who was that?
The Clippers and the Spurs. So
when the Spurs were actually
it should have been some combination of Warriors 1, Clippers and Spurs 2-3 is the way it should have been.
Right.
But it wound up being the Warriors didn't have to play either, which if you remember, that was something that the Warrior critics pointed out regularly as, well, they got lucky. They got lucky. They didn't have to play the Spurs. They didn't have to play the Clippers.
You know, you bring up, and the more I think about this, the more I agree. The road the Warriors have is going to be.
I'm telling you,
a very big factor.
And again, if it winds up being, let's say, San Antonio, Portland, Denver,
right.
Think about that. Think about two different possible roads: San Antonio, Portland, Denver, okay, versus Utah, Oklahoma City, Houston. Now, I think those are the opposite extremes, right?
Right. No doubt. The Warriors would have to be locked in for three series.
And then you're probably getting a tougher fourth series than you've had the last couple years.
Right. Yeah, so this is...
And maybe no home court advantage. See, that's the other thing. The Warriors may not have home court advantage in the finals for the first time. And right now they wouldn't against Milwaukee or Toronto, which is, they've played better on the road anyway.
Right, and I almost think, I said this, when were they, last year or whatever? Yeah, last year. Well, they beat the Rockets without home court in the Western Conference Finals.
That's the only series they haven't had it.
Right.
Steve Carrera.
In a crazy way, I almost think they'd be better off on the road.
Oh, I actually do, too.
Because all you got... I mean,
think about it, because you're going to be playing a team that hasn't been there.
Well, not only that, JD, you win one of the first two games, you're in control.
Right.
And at home, you lose one of the first two games. I would never say the Warriors aren't in control, but what I'm saying.
I actually think it also sets up a great scenario for the Warriors where, let's say you come back and it's 1-1. You come back home and it's 1-1. Well, Oracle's going to be lit.
Mm-hmm.
Oracle's going to be lit. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the final game or two there, game or two or three there.
Right.
It's going to be different from, game one of the finals again. Not a must win tonight.
True.
Really, because it's really not.
Right.
Game one of the finals is maybe the one game where it's not a must win for anybody.
Or how about this for stretching the... How about 0-2?
Well, if they're down 0-2,
yeah,
well, then Oracle would be really tight.
You think?
Because you'd have to win both. Because at that point, you have to win both.
See, I'm with you. I actually think, and
Oracle would be on fire if the Warriors have home court advantage. It's 1-1, or even if they come back. Because here's the other scenario, and this is what I thought was going to happen, and it didn't. I give credit to the Rockets for this last year, but I thought the Rockets were primed to get beat in Game One, which the Warriors beat them in Game One, and then basically fall apart in Game Two, and maybe have the Warriors sweep them. See, I could see a Milwaukee or a Toronto not being ready for Game 1 because they haven't been there before. Warriors get Game 1, and then all of a sudden the Warriors play great in Game 2. All of a sudden the Warriors are up 2-0 coming home, and then it's done. Then it might be a sweep that way.
So let me ask you this.
And Oracle would be on fire for that, too, knowing that, hey, you win 2 at Oracle, you close down Oracle with a title in 4.
Now, you say on fire versus tight. So let me ask you this.
The Warriors are down 0-2 in the finals coming home for Games 3 and 4. Oracle is tight.
Okay, so basically what you're saying, let me get this clear. They're playing Milwaukee in the finals. They don't have home court. They come back for Game 3, 1-1. That gym or Oracle Arena will be off the chain. If they come back 0-2, the environment will be more tense and less loud?
Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
Even from the jump, as they say.
Correct.
Wow. I wonder. Because, you know, here's the reason I say that, JD, is because, you know, going way back to We Believe in the Western Conference semis, Warriors went to Utah, lost both games, came back here for game three. That was the Baron Dunk. The place was a zoo. Now, they were an 8 seed.
And that was their first second-round playoff game in 15, 16 years?
Yes, no doubt. I mean, circumstances are definitely different. The Warriors would be a 1 seed here, down 2-0.
That's the difference.
Like, yes, right. We Believe was house money at that point.
I mean, you're what, an 8 seed playing a 5 or a 4?
Yeah.
At that point?
Yeah, exactly.
Joe in Mill Valley, you're up here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Joe.
Hey, great show as always, guys. I got two things. One, the Warriors, I think, really need a backup point guard. Quinn Cook doesn't play D. Sean Livingston, he's on the way out. I only have one idea for that. That'd be maybe Thomas Satoransky for the Wizards. That's just one I did throw out there. The other one is tanking. Where there's always an incentive to finish, you know, not to finish last. There's usually some type of stigma, embarrassment. You finish in last. Unlike the NBA, where everybody is understandably trying to get the one or two, you know, maybe franchise-changing players.
Right.
What if these teams had some incentive not to finish last? How, you know, Cleveland Knicks game at the end, they're all trying to lose. What if they were actually trying to win, not to finish last? How about the last place team got the 4th pick? That's it.
Well, I don't think it's a crazy idea. Here's what bothers me. All right. And caller's absolutely right. Dallas Mavericks right now, JD. Okay. They have, if their pick is 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, the Dallas Mavericks, they get to keep it. If their pick is 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 on up, then the Dallas Mavericks have to convey that pick to the Hawks for the Trae Young deal next year. All right? Well, guess who hasn't won a game in about a month?
The Dallas Mavericks.
Well, I think they've won one, but they're about 1-17. They almost can't afford to win more games because they're in the 6th spot right now. That, to me, is a joke. That is where the NBA is totally missing the boat. I think it's wrong that the Dallas Mavericks have more incentive to lose than to win. How do you fix that? I'm not sure. Maybe you know a solution that would work. But I agree. It's reprehensible that the Dallas Mavericks or any team. The Warriors did
the
it. The Warriors did it when they got Harrison Barnes. So I'm not singling out Dallas.
Yeah, the NBA's trying to. They tried to fix it with the way they changed the weighted lottery, but it's different. You don't have as good a chance, let's say, as you did now in the top. I mean, I'd have to look at all the percentages again, and it's a little different now. But there's also a just like anything statistically, there's a point where it's way better to be. I think you got a much better shot if you're top 7 versus bottom 7. So you've got teams basically in that middle ground that are trying to get into that top 7.
Right, right.
Because you got a significantly better shot of moving up to the top 3 or 4 if you're there. 888-957-9570. We'll get more of that conversation, more Warriors conversation as well. And Tim Bontemps of ESPN will join us here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, rolling on here on a Saturday. 95.7 The Game, John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, Warriors This Week.
Hey, how much have you seen of Zion Williamson?
Yeah, a little bit here and there. I watched some of that game last night. I'm not a big...
Is he a beast?
...conference tournament guy.
Oh, I can't stand the conference tournament. I mean, does he...
I'm not going to lie, though.
Does he stick out?
Yeah, he's... Yeah.
So, if you watch a game...
He was 12 for 12 the other night.
See, you know what? far be it from me, but is it like, is that a good thing?
Against Syracuse.
So how many did he take, any jump shots? Or is it all kind of around the basket?
One or two.
How's it? He doesn't have a three-point shot, right?
Not really.
Okay, well, that's, you know, you'd like to have a three-point shot right now going into the NBA because you're leaving part of your game on the table. I think if that's not part of your game.
32% on the college three.
That's pretty terrible. That's pretty terrible in college basketball. But consensus number one pick? I'm not even sure about that. What about that Barrett kid? I've heard people say Barrett might be a better prospect than
I don't know.
Williamson.
I'm not a college expert.
Yeah, I'm not either. Some people would say I'm not an NBA expert either. Some people say I don't really have any area of expertise. You know what I'm saying?
You're pretty good at plowing through those burritos.
We're out of them today. But you know what? That's good. I brought my egg sandwich in today.
See, I almost brought my own burrito in today. Like a super burrito.
We can go get one at 1 o'clock.
We'll have to do something for a couple hours.
Zion had 2 threes against Carolina, according to the 510. Yeah. Thank you very much.
That's good.
He more than stands out. He's the most dominant freshman I've ever seen. All right.
Okay.
Fair enough.
He's good.
Have you ever watched a high school game or a college game where there's...
He's 17 for 52 from three.
All right, so he's taken less than two a game. All right. Do you ever see a guy who was just a level above everybody when you went to watch a game? For example, like I remember seeing Sam Bowie in high school, all right? And
yeah, I remember seeing Jason Kidd.
That's kind of what I mean. That's what
Jason
I mean.
Jason Kidd would be the one guy that stands out.
Yeah, where you're watching a game and you're just like, holy hell, everything revolves around that guy. It's like, I've seen a couple situations like that. It's pretty fun. Billy Owens in high school was kind of like that because he could handle it and he was still 6'8", and it was just so fun watching. And that's what I'm talking about Zion Williamson. If he's that kind of player, I love watching guys like
that. Yeah, and that always gets to the conversation of like guys you played against.
Right, sure.
You know, I'm trying like who, famous guys. I may have asked you this on the air before, but like, you know, famous, like anybody make it to the NBA that you played against or it,
like actually like, in high school or college?
Yeah, like high school or
like
college.
Not pickup.
Yeah, high school or college. Like in an actual game.
Remember Dave Popson? He went to North Carolina.
Okay.
I played against him because he was from Scranton. Played against a guy named Larry Koritz, who went to LaSalle. Played against John Thompson Jr.
Okay.
Played against nobody like Zion Williamson.
Gotcha.
Let's put it that way.
And
my
go to is always, I mean, Matt Barnes. I played against played against Matt Barnes in high school.
We're
both OGs like that. Matt's a year older.
Pickup game's a little different.
And Matt was kind of underwhelming, actually, as a high school player.
I believe he was a better football player,
but
right?
He actually got a lot better in college and even at UCLA. And
He got better in the pros.
Nobody, and that too. Like nobody would have thought Matt Barnes was an NBA player in high school. Now, he was maybe the best player in the area or one of the best players in the area for sure. But he was an unbelievable wide receiver at his height. You know, playing in Sacramento. The other big name was, you remember Ontario Smith?
Sure.
They played against
Oregon, maybe?
I can't
Oregon
remember. But the Wizenator. Remember the Wizenator?
Yeah.
That was Ontario Smith. And I played basket. He was a much better football player, obviously, made it to the NFL.
Right.
But yeah, I played basketball against Ontario Smith as well.
Yeah, Oregon.
Yeah.
Went to Oregon.
So yeah.
It's amazing how things kind of stick
like
in your head.
We actually went back and forth. Like we actually guarded each other. I guarded Barnes too, but like Ontario Smith, a couple matchups, like we actually played. I liked that guy. He was a good guy. We talk on the court. didn't have the same relationship with Matt.
Did you square off with him?
Nah.
Little.
There may or may not have been a flagrant-ish foul laid.
805
by
says,
me, actually, believe it or not.
Oh, I believe that.
Not by him. Go figure.
If you flagrantly fouled Matt Barnes.
It wasn't a flagrant, but it was a hard foul.
Okay. Did he stare you down? Did he have to be held back? Not really.
We may have jawed.
He doesn't remember does he?
No, okay. Hell no. Barely remember it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because, I mean, you've run into him as a king and as a warrior,
yeah,
as a reporter.
No. Gotcha. I I'm not the guy that brings that. Like, I'm not.
Hey, man, I went your rival high school. Remember
who cares? Yeah.
Threw that hook shot in over you.
Nobody cares.
We lost 82-43, but.
He thought he was going to throw one down, and he didn't.
Hey, sometimes you got to take that hard foul.
Bad pass turnover.
By you?
No. I was basically in the Andrew Bogut, DeMarcus Cousins spot on the floor.
Look at you running the floor.
Up at the top.
Oh, I got you.
Up at the top, and there was a guy in the wing, and it was a bad pass to me, and it was broken up by Matt. And, he was going up the dunk.
How much wrist did you get in forearm? A lot? Yeah.
What body?
415 says I played horse against Pistol Pete.
That's
pretty
good.
I grew up down the street in Baton Rouge. I gotta believe Pistol Pete Maravich was probably about 703 in horse. I mean, Pete Maravich. No chance you could beat him at horse.
I almost got to go up against Steve Nash.
Really?
I didn't end up winning, but it was a Santa Clara, it was a team camp, like our high school team would go to Santa Clara.
Right.
And it was when Nash was already in the NBA, but he came back and spoke at this Santa Clara high school team camp, and he did a shooting competition. This is before Steve Nash was even a good NBA player, really, before he blew up. But so there was a winner from each team, and there was this shooting tournament, and I ended up not winning. But but there was a guy that ended up shooting against Nash, going on a 3-point shootout.
That's a big mistake to try to outshoot a pro.
No,
I learned that
hard
way in my life.
Yeah.
Trust me. B.J. Armstrong took $100 off me probably in, I'd say, about 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Because, I was thinking, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Nash was, making the rounds, doing,
Sure.
Doing different, drills and, little shootouts. They were, separate.
Have you ever seen Steve Nash's 20-minute workout?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
It's a 20-minute workout you do when you at a basket by yourself and you have nothing else, no one else to play with.
Let's get to Charlie. Charlie, you're up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing? I had one question regarding the 73-9 season. Assuming they had won the title that year, they obviously Durant wouldn't join the Warriors and very possibly wouldn't have won the last two. Just a quick question because it's something I debate with my Knicks friends. Will never win a title. Would you have traded the last two titles to have won a title in the 73-9 season to culminate it in the actual greatest season of all time, or are they? Do you think you're better off with one extra title, or assuming they win another title this year? You understand my question?
I understand.
It's a great question.
I understand it, and I do think it's. And Charlie knows. I do think it's funny that the Warriors now have so many championships. You're wondering if you could give one back to get. Listen, this. I don't think the 73 win team will be remembered as a losing team. People are going to forget that.
Well, especially because they had already won a championship.
Right. It's going to be disassociated. Like the 73 win team that didn't win it. Yeah, that stunk and all that stuff. But 10 years from now. The Warriors are going to have three titles in 5 years or four in five or, maybe four in six or something like that. And we're just not going to remember in the snap of a finger that, yeah, but the 73 win team, Yeah, but the 73-win team, I don't think we remember it.
Well,
like
in 20 or 30 years from now, people are going to need to figure out what year Durant actually came.
That's true. That's
because they'll all run together. Like, people are going to think Durant was there for all of them.
Right.
Probably.
It won't be discussed like a calamity. It'll be discussed, oh, yeah, remember 2016? That was a year they won 73, but the Cavs beat them that year. Oh, that's right. But wait a minute. When did the Warriors sweep them? That next year? No, it was 2 years after. You know what I mean? That's how we'll remember it. But the 73-win regular season was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Before we get to Tim Bontemps, let's check in with Oliver. Oliver, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Oliver.
Hey, what's up, guys? You guys were talking about, like, high school players. There's a kid, James Akinjo, point guard for Georgetown. He won Freshman of the Year. He played for Salesian in Richmond. And, you know, the great point guards in the Bay, you know, Gary Payton.
Sure.
You know, Jason Kidd. And, I think he's on his way. He's a, you know, pass first point guard. And, you know, I've seen this kid from freshman all the way, you know, when he was Salesian. And I think he's on his way.
What, he's a freshman now?
Yeah, he's a freshman now. He just won Freshman of the Year in the Big East.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Long line of great. You know what? I played against Hook Mitchell. Would he count? I mean, he's probably more of a legend than anybody would have said.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt about it. We're going to have to throw that question out after we talk to Tim. We may.
Well, you know what? Well, Bontemps is a Division I athlete. He just didn't play hoops.
He played lacrosse?
I think he's cross country.
Oh, cross country.
I think he ran cross country at St. Bonaventure. Mm. Now, I bet he played in high school, hoops in high school.
Oh, for
though,
sure.
You would think.
Yeah. We're getting Tim.
Do we have him?
Not yet.
Okay.
No. Any second, we should have him. Right. Warriors this week here in 95-7 game.
I got Bontemps with a solid elbow jumper. I don't think you can post him up and go to him a lot. Is he there?
Yeah, we got Tim Bontemps. Tim Bontemps of ESPN joining us, as he does each and every week here on 95.7 The Game. Tim, thanks for coming on. Steiny, go ahead. Give it to him.
We're just talking. We got talking about the best players we've ever played against in high school or college. And I know you ran cross country at St. Bonaventure. Did you play hoops in high school?
Yeah.
Best player you ever play against? Anybody we've heard of?
Nope. Grew up in the middle of nowhere.
All right, and I have your game as I got you solid from the elbows, knocked down that 16-footer. You can play in the low post, but you don't want to go to you too much.
I went to a very small school, so we had a very good team, and as a 6'4 kid, I was a center. So I didn't really leave the paint much. I could shoot all right, but I wasn't wasn't allowed to do too much with the ball.
Gotcha. All right.
Tim, let's...
Very humble, Tim. Very, very humble.
That's good.
Yeah. That was a good player. I just wasn't allowed to dribble the ball. So.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I could dribble the ball. I just wasn't allowed to.
You were too tall. Dribbling was for the short guys, right?
That's right. That's right.
Tim, as we look at the Eastern Conference and things starting to take shape a little bit, Indiana just continues to play well. And put themselves in the mix, although Philadelphia has passed them. They're tied, but Philadelphia has passed them by virtue of the tiebreaker. I know we talked about this a little bit last week, but how do you see it shaking out? I mean, you got Milwaukee, who's basically separated for one, Toronto separated for two. But as far as 3, 4, and 5 go, I know Indiana's got a tough stretch coming up. How are they going to, you know, how do they figure into this maybe, you know, breaking up and forcing Philadelphia to play Boston?
I'd be very surprised if that happened. They have a very brutal stretch in their schedule coming up. They have to play. They go on a very long West Coast trip. They play Denver, Golden State. I think both LA teams, Portland, somebody else. It's a really brutal stretch to come back and play the Celtics. So play the Celtics twice, actually. So it's been a great story, but I would imagine it's going to wind up with them finishing fifth. Probably, the Sixers have a slightly easier schedule than Boston down the stretch here, so I would guess it's going to be Sixers third, Celtics fourth, and Pacers fifth by the time it's all said and done.
What do you make of Boston lately? They get the big win in Oracle. They chase that with a win in Sacramento the next night. Close. Gordon Hayward playing very well. They beat the Lakers, as everybody's doing now. But then they get blown out at the Clippers. Come back home. beat the Kings. I mean, what do you make of Boston overall right now, as far as trying to get themselves right? It looks like they're, you know, up 8 right now, obviously, against the Hawks in the fourth quarter as well.
Well, they're actually up 3 because Trae Young just hit a 30-footer and they called timeout with 7 minutes to go.
Woo!
I would say the Celtics overall have looked better. They had a nice trip on the West Coast.
Oh,
obviously,
boy.
The Clipper game was not great, but that was, you know, the end of a very long trip, and usually teams will be a little gas at that point. And Atlanta's been playing well, so, I mean, I'm not too surprised this is a close game this afternoon. But look, they're slowly starting to get things together. It seems like guys are settling into roles pretty well. This has also been a weird game today because Hayward left in the first half with a strained neck, and Al Horford's been out since midway through the third quarter with some undisclosed issue. So, you know, assuming they stay healthy here, I think they're starting to settle into some nice roles. Horford's been playing really well the last couple of months. Jaylen Brown has been probably their third best player since the start of the new year, which has really helped them a lot. You know, they're starting to look like the team they were supposed to finally. It's just taken them a long time to do it. But at the end of the day, if they look like this, you know, come April, May, and June, it won't really matter what happened before that. So, you know, they feel confident about where they're at right now. The vibes around the team are good. But as we've seen a few times this season, you know, every time it looks like the Celtics have things sorted out, they tend to, you know, go back in the gutter again. And so, you know, they're really trying to hope that they're truly, really trying to focus on trying to stay out of that this time around and have this be a consistent run of play going into the playoffs of the kind of caliber they've been expected to all year long.
Tim, I think, you know, people expected Milwaukee to be a good team. I'm not sure anybody thought they'd have the best record in the NBA. And maybe they end up with the best record in the NBA. I always kind of, you know, thought of them as maybe a year before the year. What does Milwaukee need to get even better? I mean, I'm not saying they're not good now, but what would be the piece that makes them either a championship favorite or a team where people look at them and say they're as good as the Warriors?
I mean, you could argue they're there now with the statistical profile they have, though I think they're probably a little bit short. I mean, in my opinion, even though they just signed into a contract extension, I think they need to upgrade the Eric Bledsoe spot. You know, I think Giannis and Chris Middleton are two star-level players. I've never been quite as sold on Bledsoe as the third guy in that mix. So, you know, ideally at some point in the next year or two here, they could turn that piece into another, you know, real star-level player, and that gives them the big three that you kind of need most cases to win a title. But, you know, the other thing that we can't really account for is just how much better Giannis can get. I mean, I now think he's kind of clearly the best player in the league, and, you know, he's still 23, 24 years old, right? I mean, every year he's taken a pretty massive leap, and, you know, if he could become a more consistent outside shooter, which he's shown signs of doing, if he could just develop more as a player from where he is now, you know, he could really become a truly terrifying force. You know, and frankly, also, you know, if you just look at the league right now, I mean, right now they're, you know, one or two or three teams that's got a chance to probably come out of the East, right? Toronto, Boston, and Philly. And, you know, I think if Golden State, you know, say Kevin Durant leaves this summer, you know, I think anybody's going to look at the Warriors as a, you know, a dominant force like that anymore, right? I mean, they'll still be considered a championship favorite, but it won't be an overwhelming favorite. So, when you start to look at things that way, they might not need to make a change. It might just be the way the league shakes out. They may find themselves in that kind of position.
What's your gut tell you about Kawhi Leonard in Toronto, whether he's going to stay or not?
I haven't really had a good feel for it all year because I think people, assuming they know how Kawhi is thinking, are deluding themselves.
Right.
I will say I was just there this week, and he seems as happy as I've ever seen him. And happy about the way things are going in Toronto, the way they're playing. I've kind of thought all year that if he really wants to live in Southern California, he's going to go play for the Clippers. And if he wants to be in a winning situation and in a place where he's going to be featured and kind of the focal point of everything, he'll stay in Toronto. I still kind of think that's the way it's going to go. You know, I think the way their year is gone, I think they have to feel about it as good as they possibly can.
Sure.
The way things have played out. You know, they've had, I mean, we talk about all these teams having, you know, got, you know, the Celtics with their issues and the Sixers trying to incorporate these new guys. The Raptors have had basically half their season played with either Kyle Lowry or Kawhi on the bench, and they've won like 85% of those games. So I think Nick Nurse has done a really great job kind of making all these pieces work. And, you know, they've done a great job managing Kawhi's health and keeping him ready to go. And, you know, if he can, you know, I think the thing to watch for with Toronto in the playoffs is, can Kawhi take another step forward? If you ask the Raptors, I think they think he can really take another leap from where he's playing right now, and he's kind of lying in wait for the playoffs to start. And if he can do that, if he can up his game another level, you know, I thought all year long they have the deepest team, and I think if he can do that, they'd probably be my pick to get out of the East and make it back to the finals.
Tim, great stuff as always. We really appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, Tim Bontemps of ESPN here on 95.7 The Game. Good stuff. We kind of take a little sneak peek at what's going on in the Eastern Conference there. And, yeah, we had that Celtics game on earlier in here on the iPad. It's tight. Atlanta's playing well. Trae Young's playing well today.
That's I'm telling you, it's not a surprise. I would encourage.
They've got something there. I didn't look like they had anything there at the beginning of the year, but they've got some talent.
I would encourage all Warrior fans to take a look at some Hawks games, to check out Trae Young. You can't help but make the comparison with Steph Curry. I'm not saying he's good as Steph Curry, not saying he's going to be as good as Steph Curry, but the way they play, very, very similar. And, I mean, Trae, even to the point where Trae Young points to the sky, and he does the 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, I just think it's amazing. You know, everybody looked up to Jordan, but it didn't feel like the players that really looked up to Jordan, okay, never got to the NBA by the time Jordan was still playing. That's what, to me, is kind of, this one's kind of weird to me, is that Trae Young is only like, what, 10 years younger than Steph Curry, clearly patterned his whole game after him, and now is kind of the player he is. I mean, it's the way to go in the NBA right now. You got to make three-pointers, and if you can pass the ball, you're going to be able to play in this league. By the way, Kent Bazemore, yeah.
I wonder if Kent Bazemore would be somebody the Warriors would have some interest in.
Well, he's got one more year left at about 19 mil. So it's a player option, too.
So he's picking it up.
Yeah, he's going to pick up his player option. But no, I mean, Bazemore's not a bad name for the Warriors.
Not next year, though.
No, not at that money. No.
It would be.
You know, and I know we're going to get out soon, but the previous caller was talking about a backup point guard. And I do think the Warriors, you know, they've never gone that traditional backup point guard route, really, since Livingston's been here. So I do think we're going to see a bona fide point guard on the roster next year.
I got a name for you. I'm going to give you the name. I think I've mentioned it maybe in the last week. We'll give it to you coming back. Right. And also, George in Los Altos wants to disagree with something Tim Bontemps said. So we'll get to that as well. It's Warriors This Week. J.D. and Steiny, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, back with you here. 95.7 The Game, Warriors This Week. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz with you till 1 o'clock. And then back, of course, at 4 o'clock. Because that's how we roll on these Saturdays when the Warriors have the 5:30 tips. Consecutive weeks, Steiny. All day today, and then next week we got one of those where we do the show and then we go over to Oracle.
Yeah, these are better.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Yeah, yes and no.
All right. The one thing I think we should start doing, since these are long days, is, you know, we're downtown here at the end of Battery Street, Battery and Broadway.
And it is a beautiful day.
Oh, it is. And we're going to have 3 hours before our next show. So, JD, you and I like to go out and grab a little lunch.
Yeah.
At 1 o'clock.
Sure.
And so, you know, anybody working around Broadway and Battery
or
wants to
maybe a North Beach,
yeah, or North Beach for sure. Recommend a good spot to go to for lunch. Maybe we haven't heard of. We've been to a place called Pete's the last couple weeks in North Beach.
Pete's.
We're open minded, and especially open minded if you know you own the establishment and want to, you know, buy us a meal or a drink. We'll do that also. By the way, you got to do this. I'm kidding. You got to do the brain to the question. You got to ask that question.
Which one? The one about the point guards?
No,
or the other.
Oh
one?
No, No, it was the other one.
Okay, well,
bring up the
point guard. What do you think of Rajon Rondo as a Warrior next year? Backup point guard. Sean Livingston.
Well, the funny thing is when you said
long.
That, when you said that, I thought you were kind of kidding. But you're not. I don't. Nah. Nah.
Why nah?
Just, no.
Why not?
First of all, he's on the downside of his career in a big way.
Okay. Really? Okay.
How old is he now? He's got to be 35, right?
Again, no, I don't think he's that old.
Yeah, you're probably right. Because he was probably in his second year when they won it.
He was a rookie when they won.
Oh, really?
The Celtics.
All right,
yeah.
So
yeah, he's 33. He's actually, yeah, he just turned 33.
So. I just don't need... I just don't need him on my team. He's too much of a wild card. I'm sorry. And I also don't like the fact he can't shoot. So on this team, he won't be guarded. So his why would you want to do that, though? Seriously. I mean, I could think of...
God, and you know what? I was wrong. He was not a rookie. He was his second year. You win again. I was. You said that, and I'm thinking, geez. Yeah.
I just... It's not... This team's not for him and vice versa. Sometimes you can't explain it more than that. You know what? How about that? Like, I don't think... Here's why I'm not crazy about Rondo. It's because I don't think he'd come onto this team, the Warriors, like with the proper amount of respect. Honestly, I could see Rondo coming in and just kind of, hey, I'm Rajon Rondo. And the Warriors say, but we've won 4 titles in 5 years. And Rondo comes back and says, I'm sorry, I don't think you heard me. I'm Rajon Rondo. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I wouldn't bring him in here.
All right. George in Los Altos wants to disagree with our guy, Bontemps. Hey, George.
Ooh.
Hi, how are you?
I'm
great. George.
Good. I wasn't even going to talk about Rondo until I just heard.
Well, that's fine. You can make 2 points.
Yeah, I totally agree. The chemistry is not right with that guy. He's a talented player. I just do not see him blending in with the Warriors, and the Warriors are all about chemistry, and I think that's why, other than talent, they've been so successful. But going to the earlier comment that Giannis is the best player in the NBA, I'm sorry. There's no way that he's a better player than Kevin Durant. I don't think you can be considered the best player in the NBA unless you have no weaknesses. Kevin Durant has no weaknesses, and any weakness he might have would be so slight it's not even worth noting.
Well,
Giannis does not have the game that Kevin has. Kevin can do everything on the court, everything, inside, outside, defense, rebounds, everything. Giannis cannot do what Kevin does.
All right, can I come back? I'm not here to say Giannis is better than Durant, because I'm not sure I believe that. But Giannis is way, way more of a scorer in the paint, whether it's kind of a half post up or whether it's a drive. Giannis can finish in the paint at a higher level than Durant. The shooting on the perimeter probably evens that out.
All right, so let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting down to the end of the game. There's 10 seconds left.
I'm with you. I'm with you here. Go ahead.
Who you want to have the ball, Giannis or Kevin?
You know what
Kevin.
Yeah. I was hoping he would say, who do you want to take the shot? Because then it's even easier. It's Kevin Durant. But, yeah, no. To me, Giannis is still, he's got some refinement to come. But, I mean, I think Giannis is a better passer than Durant.
Thanks, George.
But I'm not saying George is wrong. I mean, like, okay, you know what?
If
you want to use the phrase basketball player, okay, basketball player. Well, Durant is a better basketball player. You know what I mean? But you could make a case, Giannis, I don't know, is more impactful or affects more areas of the game? Yeah.
It's a great question. I mean, I'd still go Durant, but I mean, you know, what's the answer to that question going to be 5 years from now, 4 years from now?
No doubt.
I mean, I don't mean Giannis at 28 or 29 versus Kevin Durant at 34. I mean, like, what will Giannis's 28 be like compared to Durant's 28?
Right.
You know, whatever Durant's 28, you know, was a couple of years ago.
And you know what else, JD, is, and you know, Ben Simmons, you hear this about a lot. Once he develops an outside shot, well, again, how many outside shots do you want Giannis taking when he's getting you 30 without an outside shot? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's easier said than done to say, well, he needs to get a shot. Because not only do you need to become a better shooter, then you have to learn how to utilize that better shooting at the times when other parts of your game, or you would have gone another route years previous with another part of your game. You know what I mean? Like, next, let's say Giannis works on his jump shot, and now he can make a 20-footer. Well, but maybe he can only make 50% of his 20-footers. But when he drives to the basket, he scores at a 60% rate. Well, and the reason he goes to the basket is because he's not a great shooter.
Well, and
so now he becomes an average shooter. He goes to the basket less.
Those are all the things the analytics guys will crunch the numbers on and let the coaches and him know. You know, what are the? It's, to me, you want to be capable of making any shot.
Right.
Now, does that mean you're going to take every shot you're capable of making all the time or regularly? Not necessarily. Because a big focus of the analytics shift in the NBA over, let's say, the last decade has been where guys shoot well from.
Right.
And getting certain players to shoot from spots where it's maybe easier to make it. The corner three, et cetera. So, you know, you basically want players shooting shots that they make more consistently.
No doubt.
So, you know, you make it more consistently, are you more apt to shoot it? Yes and no. But I think that specific debate that you're talking about, you can come up with a logical answer as to, you know, is it better for him to go to the basket or shoot a shot that he can make 50% of the time?
Well, I guess the thing I'd ask is, all right, JD, you're starting a team tomorrow, so who are you taking?
Well, then it becomes Giannis at 24 versus Durant at 30. And
right.
I'd probably go Giannis.
Sure. And I would too. All right. Now you got to win one game. You got to win tomorrow.
Durant.
You taking him over LeBron?
Yeah, right now.
Are you?
Yeah. LeBron's.
And clearly you're taking Durant over Curry. So Durant would be the guy.
I don't know.
I know. It's true.
It's tough.
I still might take Curry.
Let's get Antonio in Oakland on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Antonio.
Oh, hey, you guys. Yeah, I'm picking Kevin Durant over Giannis. Don't get me wrong. Giannis, for the past 2 years, has been my favorite non-Warrior player in the whole NBA. So I clearly don't dislike him. I'm a fan of him. You know, but he's a little Anthony Davis-ish. Like, you know, Anthony Davis only won one playoff series in, what, 6 seasons? And Giannis, I don't even think he's won a playoff series yet. You know, so win a playoff series or two, then he can get into the discussion. You know, on top of him not having a 3-point shot. You know what I'm saying? So win a playoff series, and I'm rooting for him too. I'm a big fan of him. You know, but he has to win a series at least. I'm not saying a championship, at least a series.
I got you.
He's in the discussion.
He's 0-3 in the playoffs.
Thanks, Antonio.
Lost in six games, and then lost in 7 games. I'm not ready to go there yet.
Yeah, it's too early for that to even factor in.
Put it in this way,
Antonio.
Have they
been favored to win any series?
If
no.
they lose in the first round this year, then you got to start asking that.
Exactly.
I'm willing to, and you know, but no, I also think Giannis.
The guy just turned 24 in December.
I know. He's
good, he's 24 man. In 3 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.